May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Look at the person next to you and say, God loves you and so do I. Simon Peter said to Jesus, we have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. I can see you. I believe that you are here. You are people, flesh, blood, bones, cartilage, intellect, heart, eyes, ears, sickness, health, hairspray. But do I know you? For me to go beyond believing you are here to knowing who you are, it takes cultivating relationships. Spending quality time together both in play, that's important, and in mission, equally important. It requires sharing life together, breaking the bread of life together, nourishing our souls together. Joy and I have really enjoyed the welcome dinners to get to know you. They just keep going on and on and on and on. Wonderful. We are people too. Yes, we're human bodies, flesh, blood, hearts, eyes, ears, intellect, sickness, health, and hairspray. The real us is beyond a pastoral role. It's found in relationship, and that's where the real you lies as well. We are people, people who need one another, people who desire community, people who don't have all the answers, people who do what we can, people who at the end of the day really need God. Believing and knowing. Our texts this summer have been focused on the theology of the bread of life, and specifically on Jesus as the bread of life, the bread that has come from heaven, the bread that gives us eternal life. Our readings over the summer have been taken from John's Gospel, which is a theological text. It is a text about knowing God, not just believing in God. And John is not a direct written account of the proceedings of Jesus like Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It doesn't begin with a detailed birth narrative. It doesn't have a detailed account of the Lord's Supper. Rather, John begins with these words: in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John's gospel is about the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, believing. Believing is the first step in the Christian faith and life. Sometimes it can be hard to believe in something other than ourselves, especially that God came and put on flesh and dwelled among us. Some come to believe in God after they hit rock bottom. There's no other place to turn. There's no other person to turn to. There's no other way to look except up. And so they come to believe in God. Some choose to believe in God because they think that God is mad at them. I love this quote from the book, The Five Marks of a Methodist, about creation. It says, as long as we think that God is mad at the world, and more specifically mad at us, we will hold God at arm's length. Like Adam and Eve, we will go into hiding when God comes near. But instead of this, we remember that God sought them out, called them to come out of hiding, and provided garments to cover the shame of their sin. That is what God does. That is what love does. And that is the basis for Thanksgiving. So some of us come to believe in God because we believe God is mad at us. Some come to believe in God through their confirmation or family upbringing. I've heard people say, I believe in God because my great-great-great-grandmother believed in God. And praise God for that. When you're washed in the grace of baptism and confirmation, you're asked some specific questions about what you believe. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? The questions of the Christian life are asked concerning the rejection of wickedness and evil, because we believe that there's a better way to live. Questions are asked concerning the nature of the church. Do you believe that the church is open to people of all ages, nations, and races? Because we believe in a universal church. Questions are asked about rejecting evil and injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves, because we believe that life in the kingdom of God is a better way. Believing. People get into arguments about what they believe. People join together in groups because of what they believe. Believing is good. In the Christian life, believing is the first step, though. John's gospel shares with us that it's not just about believing in something. I believe that you're here. It's about knowing something. Believing and knowing go together. Knowing the heart of Jesus, knowing the heart of God, knowing the love of God. It isn't just knowing about God, but it's about knowing God in close relationship and being swept up in the arms of God's love. People in Boca Grande know that there's a United Methodist Church here, but do they know the church? They won't until they know you. I was reminded of John Wesley, who was an imperfect priest and professor at Oxford, and a priest in the Church of England, the founder of the Methodist Way. He was a religious man. He was pious. He sought perfection in everything that he did. And once he made the decision to go on the route of vocational ministry into the priesthood, he went all in. He was pretty uptight. He formed a holy club who studied the Bible methodically, and they were done long before I even get up in the morning. He rallied around accountability and spiritual formation. He took faith very seriously, yet as he would say about himself, his heart was far from God. He believed in God, did what he considered was the right religious thing to do, and served diligently. He even came to the colonies, now the United States, to evangelize and started the first ever Sunday school at Christ Church in Savannah, Georgia. Yet he left Georgia feeling like he hadn't done much of anything. He stayed physically sick. He felt like he couldn't get across to people. And he had a woman in his life that broke his heart. a failed relationship. So he goes back to England. And with all of his education and experiences and studious devotion to the faith, he doesn't claim that he was converted by the love of God until an experience he had on Aldersgate Street. He records this in his journal. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street. Very unwillingly. You ever done anything unwillingly? Oh, it's time to go to church. When's my tea time? Unwillingly. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society. By the way, God loves your unwillingness. I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. Now that sounds exciting. About a quarter before nine, while the leader was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warm. I felt I did trust in Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. Wesley had done all the things that he thought were right, and I'm sure many of them were. His parents had baptized him in the faith. He answered all of the questions correctly. He was raised in a faith-filled home. He was confirmed. He studied. He was ordained a priest. He methodically read the Bible and received the sacraments. He was a leader and a facilitator about the faith. Yet in his system of belief, something must have been missing, because it was in this holy and unexpected moment on the side of the road that he went from believing to knowing. An assurance was given me that he, God, had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. It was in that moment that he knew that God's love reached even to him. He knew that even his sins were forgiven. He knew that he was beginning to know the love of God. Do you know God? For me, as I've shared a few times, it was during communion that my heart was strangely warmed. I had done the right things. I answered the questions, was baptized, confirmed, went through the motions. But something happened that began to allow me to know the grace of God. We can do all the right things, be an astute and upright religious person, and yet through the ordinary and unexpected, and even through our unwillingness, God gets our attention by his love and wants us to know him, not just know about him. Know him. And it's even about that hard to believe theological truth that God wants to know us. And the understanding that God has always known us. You? Me? All of us. We read in the prophet Jeremiah 1:5 the words that say, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart. It's a love that was waiting for you. That's love. That's a promise. That is a future that's filled with hope. To know someone is to have a relationship with the person. To know God is to have a relationship with God. We develop this relationship through spending time with God, as we would spend time with one another, through prayer and regular spiritual practice that deepen our relationship. And we become those people of God by following Jesus, by believing Him when He says that I am the bread of life, by receiving that bread, by trusting that Jesus is the way, the truth, and to life, knowing God is going beyond belief and into relationship. And that's what the disciples were doing in today's text. They had been following Jesus and had experienced the miracles that God was doing through Him. Jesus healing the sick. Jesus feeding the hungry. They could see Him. They could believe Him. But in this text, they were beginning to know Him. Their declarations and belief were turning into relationship. Their knowledge of God and Jesus Christ was deepening. Some of the disciples couldn't grasp or accept that Jesus was the bread of life. And so we read today that they left Him. So Jesus looks at the remaining 12 and He says, well, what about you? Do you wish to go away as well? And one of the disciples, Simon Peter of the 12, responded, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that You are the Holy One of God. We have come to believe and know. This call to Christian discipleship is real. It is a call to believe and it's a call to know. And like God sought out Adam and Eve in their sin and clothed them, the Gospels point us to God and Jesus Christ seeking us out to clothe us in righteousness because God knows us and longs for a deep and ongoing relationship with us. Something that I'm learning is that every day can be a new beginning. And many people are quick to say they believe in God. But what we do not hear very often is people that say, I believe in God and I know God. Wouldn't that just be a great answer if you're having a really bad day and someone asks you how you're doing? Well, you know, it's a tough one, but I believe in God and I know God. I have a relationship with God. And on this day of new beginnings, think about getting to know God on a deeper level, about cultivating a relationship with God that will lead you beyond the peripheries of believing faith and into the realms of knowing faith. Do you believe in God? God believes in you. Do you know God? God loves you and knows you well. And may we echo the words of Simon Peter, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know You. I want to challenge you this week, if you find yourself in that place where you may say, Pastor Matthew, I have believed for a long time. But, you know, it's been a while since I've really felt in my heart that I know God. I've been doing my own thing. Maybe I've been away from the church or away from other believers. I would encourage you to pray this simple prayer. Lord, I believe in You. And I desire to get to know You better. Can you say that with me? Lord, I believe in You, and I desire to get to know You better. In the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me that's found on page 607 in your hymnal. If you would open there and we will pray it together. It's a prayer that basically says, Lord, I want to know you in your fullness. Let us pray. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low by thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine, so be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.